Your name?
Lucas Benitez.
Your organization?
Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
You're one of the founders of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers?
Yes.
Talk about that. I think people have heard about it recently with the victories over Taco Bell, McDonald's. But take us back to 1992 and the founding of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
I made that in Spanish.
Okay.
Básicamente nosotros, la coalición nace desde los 90, 92, 93, formada por mexicanos, guatemaltecos y haitianos.
So the Coalition of Immokalee Workers was born in the early 1990s, in 1992 and 1993, and was formed by Mexican, Guatemalan, and Haitian farm workers.
Hicimos un sinnúmero de acciones antes de llegar a lo que la gente hoy lo conoce como parte de la historia, el boicot de Taco Bell.
And we did an endless number of actions in our local community before arriving to what people know publicly, which was the Taco Bell campaign.
Hicimos una huelga general con más de 3,000 trabajadores en Immokalee en el 95, una marcha de 230 millas de Fort Myers, Orlando, una marcha en contra de la violencia también en Immokalee con más de 500 trabajadores.
We did a general strike in Immokalee with over 3,000 workers who didn't go to work in 1995 and 97. We did a 240-mile march from Fort Myers to Orlando to the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association, and we did a lot of activities to put pressure on the growers.
Y básicamente era para tratar de que los rancheros llegaran a la mesa para dialogar y para ver una solución al problema de los trabajadores agrícolas.
And all of those activities were focused on the tomato growers and trying to bring them to the table to dialogue with us about improving conditions.
Debido a que no tuvimos una respuesta por parte de ellos, fue que fuimos a hacer la campaña por comida justa, enfocando en los grandes compradores que consumen el tomate que nosotros cosechamos en Florida.
And with no dialogue and no answer from them, that was what made us look to the large companies that purchase the tomatoes that we pick and led us to our campaign for fair food that we have today.
When you started, there was just 8 people in 1992?
Sí, empezamos con 8 personas, alrededor de 8 personas, y hoy tenemos cerca de 5,000 miembros.
So yes, we started with just 8 people, and today we have almost 5,000 members.
Tenemos también el apoyo de una gran masa de gente a nivel de todo el país, desde estudiantes, congregaciones religiosas, una diversidad tremenda de gente que apoya toda la campaña por comida justa.
And we have a lot of support from people around the country, from many students, many religious organizations and congregations, as well as just a lot of people, really a diverse mix of people who want to support us in improving conditions for farm workers.
How did you grow from 8 people to 5,000, and how did you get people who normally say, oh, no, I'm Guatemalan, not Mexican, not Haitian, how did you bridge those divides?
Bueno, primero usando un método de organización que es bastante conocido en nuestras regiones donde venimos, que es el método de educación popular.
So we use a method called popular education, which is something that's very common in the areas that we come from.
Pero también básicamente llegando a vernos como la industria nos ve, como las grandes corporaciones que consumen el tomate que cosechamos, nos ven como solamente trabajadores, sin importarle de dónde somos, sin importarle si tenemos familia, solamente te ven si vas a trabajar duro, si vas a trabajar rápido, y así te ven como dos manos, como una máquina básicamente.
And also looking at ourselves the way, or looking at how the agricultural industry saw us, we saw that the agricultural industry and the companies that buy those tomatoes see us just as workers. It doesn't matter to them what country we're from or if we have a family or not. All that matters is how fast you pick.
Como si fuéramos máquinas, básicamente.
And they look at us as if we were just machines.
Entonces, de esa manera fue que también que nosotros decidimos vernos de esa misma manera y unirnos como trabajadores.
And so we saw that we also had to look at ourselves just as workers in that same way that we were all together and unite to change the conditions.
And how did you go from 8 people to 5,000?
Bueno, utilizando, te digo, muchas herramientas. En caso más reciente, tenemos también nuestra estación de radio, que es una Low Power Radio Station, que llevamos el mensaje a mucho más gente en nuestra comunidad.
So we use many different methods of community education and One of the more recent methods is that we have a low-power community radio station, and that allows us to reach many people.
Y nuestra reunión es de cada miércoles. Desde que empezamos, básicamente, la reunión de cada miércoles es como una cosa religiosa que cada miércoles tiene que pasar durante la temporada, desde septiembre hasta mayo.
And also our Wednesday night community meetings, and those are the center of our organizing work since we started. We've had a meeting every Wednesday night during the farm worker season, and that's something that everybody knows to come to and that we continuously do from with the season is September to May.
So every Wednesday beginning in 1992, you would meet from about 7 to 9 p.m., and the consistency of the meetings helped to build the organization?
Sí, así básicamente es la raíz de la organización. Y es como uno de los pilares fuertes para que nos ha llevado a crear esa conciencia, sacar ese compromiso de la gente para hacer básicamente lo que estamos viendo, un poco de cambios en lo que es la industria agrícola.
So yes, our community meetings are the foundation of the work that we do, and it's through those meetings that we develop consciousness together and develop campaign strategy.
Talk about the early meetings and how you would go from the meeting March with maybe 50 guys to one of the crew leaders' homes to demand that they pay. Some of the crew leaders would not pay the workers.
Sí, eso era muy común antes de tener la organización. El robo de salarios era un problema que se tenía a gran escala. Y marchábamos a la casa del trabajador para reclamar el cheque de algún compañero que le debían una semana, tres días o un día de trabajo.
So wage theft was a very, very common problem when we first started meeting. And so what we would do is at the meeting for people who hadn't been paid, we would go with the group of workers from that meeting to the house to get of the contractors who owed them money to make sure that they were paid for the work that they had done.
Entonces, de empezar en esa manera, básicamente también era para irnos empoderando más, para ir también básicamente sacando todo eso a la luz pública, pero sabiendo de que es nuestro derecho, estamos haciendo lo correcto porque es un trabajo que ya hicimos y tenemos que recibir el pago.
And through the cobros, as we call them, getting back wages was one way that we also created more consciousness among the workers, realizing that this was a problem that happened to all of us or to many of us, and that it was also something that we could expose to public light and that we could get resolved.
Lucas Benitez, it wasn't even necessarily a matter of how much the money was, but just the principle that you wanted to establish that that pickers would be paid.
Exactamente. El principio básicamente es que trabajo hecho es trabajo que se tiene que pagar. Se te tiene que respetar, por lo menos, con eso vas a darle comer a tu familia, y si tú no lo recibes, te están robando un plato de comida para tus hijos.
Yes, so basically for us, work done is work that it should be paid for. And when you aren't paid for the work that you do, it's as if someone is basically, you know, stealing from you, and that money would go to feed your children. So it's like they're, you know, taking food away from your children.
How surprised were the crew leaders? I mean, the Immokalee workers are down for a few, you know, for what, 6 months throughout the growing season, and then many leave. This is a very difficult population to organize. How surprised were the crew leaders when you would show up at their doorstep, you know, in their probably nice neighborhoods, to embarrass them, to say, with 50, 70 people, say, you need to pay?
Bueno, realmente era como increíble para ellos ver que una comunidad que había estado completamente cada quien haciendo su cosa por su lado, resolviendo sus problemas cada quien por su lado, empezábamos a unirnos, no importara si era negro, si era guatemalteco, mexicano, lo que fuera. Somos trabajadores y vamos a apoyarnos unos a otros. Era sorpresa para ellos llegar y vernos enfrente de su yarda, de su casa, y decir, estamos aquí para cobrar el cheque. Y era bonito ver que en ese momento el dinero aparecía como por arte de magia, ya sea en efectivo o en un cheque del mismo contratista para pagar.
So it was incredible to bring workers together, whereas before people had just tried to resolve problems individually. But now we were together. So it didn't matter if you were black, if you were Guatemalan, if you were Mexican, wherever you were from, we went together to the house of the contractors to get the back wages. And so when the contractor would look out, they would see all these different people, and that was quite a surprise. And it was like magic for us, because then the pay would appear that had been owed to the person. And so whether it was a check or cash or whatever it was from the contractor, the person would be paid for the work that they had done.
And now, because of these years of organizing, it's not even that the Coalition of Immokalee Workers has to intervene in each instance. Talk about the recent instance where growers or pickers didn't get their lunch on time, and instead of going to the organization, they simply pulled out their Coalition of Immokalee Worker cards and demanded that they be treated fairly.
Sí, es básicamente como esa conciencia que se ha despertado en la comunidad, de que cuando estamos unidos, cuando estamos básicamente juntos, podemos hacer y reclamar un derecho tan fundamental que es tomar tu hora de o tu media hora de lonche a la hora que se debe de dar, que es a las 12 del día. Los trabajadores hoy saben eso. Pasó hace unos años que todo el grupo quería comer, ya pasaba de la mediodía. El contratista no quería dejarlos ir a comer. Él dijo que hasta que terminaran de llenar el troque, que iba a tardar otra hora y media. Entonces ellos dijeron, uno dijo, yo voy a, si no nos das la hora de lonche, voy a ir a la coalición. Entonces el contratista dijo, ¿quién dijo eso y quién quiere acompañarlo? Y la mayoría de los trabajadores que estaban ahí dijeron, no, nosotros, sacaron su tarjeta de miembro de la coalición. Y el contratista lo que dijo nada más como, está bien, yo estaba bromeando, vamos a comer.
So lunch is something that everyone should get, especially when you're working in the fields. You need that half an hour to have food while you're working. So in this particular case that happened a few years ago, the workers were out working the fields and it was, you know, 12 o'clock, time for lunch. But the contractor said, well, no, actually, we have an hour and a half more of work to do. You can't have lunch. And one of the workers said, well, if he doesn't give us our lunch break, I'm going to go to the coalition. And the contractor was like, who said that? Who said that they're going to go to the coalition and who's going to accompany them? And almost everybody raised their hand and started pulling out their membership cards for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And then the contractor saw that, and so he was like, oh no, I was just kidding. We're going to have lunch right now.
What are the steps going forward? You are looking to bring to the table Ahold, which is the parent company for Giant and Stop and Shop. There's a lot of Giant supermarkets in this area. What are your next steps?
Bueno, seguir con la campaña enfocada en Ahold en esta región del país, poner la presión en Publix, que es otra corporación grande que compra mucho el tomate en un supermercado de los 10 más grandes del país, y Sodexo también, que hasta el momento no ha querido venir a la mesa para firmar y hacer el acuerdo real.
So we're calling on Ahold, which owns Giant, Stop and Shop and other supermarkets, as well as Publix, which is a supermarket based in Florida, and also food service provider Sodexo, to work with us, to do what other companies have done, to improve wages and conditions for the farm workers who pick their tomatoes.
Any final thoughts you want to share? Lucas Benitez is one of the co-founders of this organization, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which started Wednesday evening meetings in 1992 and is now at the point where you have 5,000 members and are bringing to the table some of the largest corporations on earth.
Así es que, bueno, también hoy para la gente que todavía sigue pensando qué tanto es la situación o el aprieto de los trabajadores, por los próximos días vamos a estar en una gira que ya está en su segundo día, el día de hoy, en Washington, D.C. Vamos a ir a Filadelfia, a Boston, a Connecticut, también vamos a Nueva York, a hacer un recorrido con un museo móvil de la esclavitud moderna en lo que es la agricultura, que es el extremo de la explotación en la agricultura.
So for people who are wondering about, you know, where does my food come from, the oppression that farm workers face is still very much a reality. The bad conditions, slavery cases in the fields, and right now we're on tour with a modern day slavery museum that shows some of the history and evolution of slavery in Florida's fields, but more than anything, the current cases that have happened recently. And this museum is on tour. Right now we're in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be going to Philadelphia, New York City, to Boston, to Providence, to many places to raise awareness about this. And it's actually very timely because just this month, the Department of Justice released an indictment for the 8th slavery prosecution in Florida's fields.
Muchas gracias, Lucas Benitez.
Gracias.